Hey everyone, this is Brian with Survival Guide for Christian Men. Welcome back to episode number 11. And tonight we will be hearing from Randy Bierlein. He spoke at Recalibrate 2012 in Grand Rapids and put on a really awesome session. I really enjoyed it. And Recalibrate 2012 was put on by a ministry called Go the Distance Ministries, headed by Kevin Miles. And you can find Go the Distance at go-distance.org. I will have a link to that website on the show notes to this show. You can find that at pbjnetwork.com/ASG4CM and look for episode 11. If you would like to leave a voicemail for the show and be on the show, we would love to hear from you. This is an interactive men's podcast. So, you know, this podcast is all about hearing from you, getting to know you, locking faith with you, stuff like that, you know, just being a part of each other's lives. So if you want to do that, the phone number is 707-872-7442, or you can go to the pbmjnetwork.com, and there's a vertical bar on the far right-hand side that says, click here to leave us a voicemail. You can just click that and speak right into your computer, and we will get that voicemail and play on the show. That'd be awesome. If you'd rather, leave us an email. The email address is asg4cm@gmail.com. You can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/asurvivalguide4christianmen. Or you can tweet me at twitter.com/thepbmjshow without the O. That's S-H-W. So before we get into the program, I would just like to mention on the website, there's a new tab over on the right-hand side. It says, buy us a coffee to support the show. What that is just to help us cover some costs. We're not looking to make any money doing this podcast. We just want to help make the show better. You know, occasionally we have costs like new microphones, things like that. And you could help, you know, supplement some of that cost. It'd be awesome. Because, you know, this is not a free thing. Podcasting is not free. It can be, but you might not want to listen to it. So anyway, just go there if you can. Click on Buy Us a Coffee. It'll take you to our PayPal account. And just leave us $5. And we will, you know, mention you on the show. That'd be really awesome. And if you have a men's ministry event coming up, we would love to hear about it. You know, if you want to, you know, slip us a fiver, we will advertise your event on the show. Or if your event is in the Charlotte, Michigan area, if it's in the mid-Michigan area, and you want to float me a ticket, I will come. I will advertise the show and come and help get the word out. So that'd be awesome. So you can do that. And also, if you would like a speaker at your men's ministry event, your wild game dinner, or your retreat, you can check out BrianCarruthers.com, and all the information is there on how to make that happen. I'd love to come out, talk to the men in your church, in your men's ministry, whatever you got going on. So with all that being said, here is Randy Bierlein. Enjoy the show.
Just a brief vignette of what happened the last time Randy and I spoke together. Randy had the closing session at Heart of the Warrior in the UP, and he was actually before me. And that was correct, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you were before me because I was late because of you, right? Yes. All right. Yes, now I'm remembering the story. And Randy did this incredible thing. I mean, it kind of blew me away. He had this warfare piece and prayed for guys afterwards. And just when I thought the thing was done, Randy said, somebody is not done taking care of business. I mean, it was kind of spooky. There's this guy that's sitting in a chair, and he said, it's me, it's me, it's me. And you know what? It wasn't just an emotional, hokey, contrived thing. It was the real deal. This guy told a story that he needed to tell, and Randy went over and very graciously did spiritual surgery with this guy in front of all of us. And this guy had a forgiveness issue. Randy walked him very gently but firmly through that. And the guy, for the first time in I don't know how long, somebody had murdered his child. It was a random killing. Somebody shot his kid. And this guy was just, he was a mess. He was a mess. And Randy was able to work through that process, had the spiritual discernment to gently call that guy out in such a way that guy felt like, this guy loves me. And he went with it. It was an amazing thing. And the next day, this guy was just like floating. He had freedom he hadn't had for years. It was incredible. So I have a great deal of respect for the spiritual discernment of this man. So listen carefully to Randy. He's a good man.
Wow. I don't know exactly how to follow that. Because it's, in some ways, very humbling. And also, the part that he says about me being a slight bit disconcerting to others might be accurate. You see, my name really is not Randy. My name really is Gandalf. And this is my sword, Glamdring. And with this sword, I destroyed the Balrog of Morgoth. Are you guys ready for that? Are you ready to get the Balrog of Morgoth destroyed for you? It doesn't come from me. It doesn't even become because of me. It comes because of you and what you guys want. And where you want to go. And what you're going to do for the rest of your lives. It's not going to be about whether or not you're going to continue in the pose. Because I know, Neil said, the poser needs to be exposed. I'm not going to expose you. You are going to expose yourselves. But before we go there, there's a whole lot of seats in the very front here. So all you guys in the back, you're going to come forward. Yeah, everybody in the soft seats back there, including our fearless leaders, are going to come right up the front. We're going to fill all these front rows all the way up. So bring it all the way up. Even you guys right there in the back there, there's still some seats up here. You're going to be up here anyway, so don't worry about it. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. So come on. Oh, no, there's more seats. Come on. Come on. I know. I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. It won't be the last time, okay? You might as well get used to it. Come on. Norm, we got a seat right up here for you, big guy. Oh, no. Come on. Come on. You're going to get out of your comfort zone right now. I drove you here, and now you can move here. Come on. Let's go. Yep. We're going to wait for you. Come on. Get up here. Come on. You know, I want to tell you guys something that's going to be probably one of the neatest things that you're going to hear, and that is the grace of God is over all, every one of you. It's over me. And this is a room of grace. And whatever happens in this room of grace today stays in this room of grace today. Okay? We're not going to be telling each other stories. You can tell your own story as often as you want. No, I'm yours. You're a sweetheart, buddy. You can tell that story. But other people's story, that's their story. But everyone here has got a story, and every one of these stories is going to be important for you to listen to, because every single one of them is going to resound with something in your own heart. See, we all have wounds. Every one of us. We have issues. You have a pulse? You got issues. Okay, everybody reach over, okay? Check it out. Okay? Feeling pretty good about myself right now. I can actually feel a pulse. I've got issues. I'm not up here because I'm somewhere up there. I'm not. God called me, and I said, okay, after the 3,000th time. But it doesn't mean I don't have issues. It doesn't mean I don't have serious wounds. And I'm going to get into that a little bit. But we're going to see a video, the story of Josh Cratchit. Josh was on this show called The X Factor. And on the show, all these people were brought from different places and they all tried out for the show, and it's a singing competition. And Josh had this music in him that was phenomenal, but he couldn't get it out. He couldn't express it to the world. He couldn't. Didn't have a way. When he was 17, he had a daughter. The love of his life left him. And he was just trying to hang on. And this is a story of him singing a song. You're going to hear a little bit of a story. When he sings a song, go ahead and play the video.
Right now, here's the final performer of the night. It's the last of the over 30s, Nicole Scherzinger.
Representing Columbus, Ohio, I am so proud to introduce Mr. Josh Cratchit.
This week, dedicating my song to my 13-year-old daughter, Rowan. Without her, I wouldn't be singing today, and I may have given up on my dream completely. I was 17 when I had Rowan. She's just such a wonderful child.
My dad's one of the best fathers out there, but it's just so cool that he can also be one of my best friends. I'm really lucky.
Joshua fell in love as a teenager. He fell pretty hard, and things sometimes don't work out.
When you lose your first love, you feel like you've just fallen off the edge of the world. I fell into a very dark place.
His smile was gone. It was probably the most helpless I've ever felt, not being able to help my son.
I wouldn't want to wish that hell on anyone. My drive for being a musician faltered. I remember a time I saw Rowan playing the piano, and I saw a piece of me in her. Something inside me clicked. Because to hell with this pain, that means nothing. I have my daughter Rowan, and it's about her. And I said to myself, I've got to make a change because I need to show her that having a dream and striving for it is worth it.
What's the story behind this song for you?
I've been playing this song, well, probably your whole life, right?
Josh chose this song. It's very close to his heart.
The song shows how hard it is to be away and be working and not see her.
My dad is definitely one of my heroes. Seeing my father living out his dreams has shown me that anything's possible.
The whole reason I'm here doing this is for her. I hope that she watches and says, wow, that's my dad. You know, and if I can accomplish that, then I think I can accomplish anything.
That you Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, we just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fall down on this place, that the power of your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of every man here, that you would make the change, that you would clarify their hearts and minds, that you would do the work in our lives. Lord, we just give this time to you. We pray blessing over all these men. We stand in the gap, Lord God. We resist the devil and all his works. We know that he has to flee because we submit to you, Lord God. We surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist. What does resist mean? Fight? Could be fight. Could be just stand. Couldn't it? Could be just stand. Stand with the power of God through his might. And say, that's enough. I resist you in the name of Jesus. But it comes with a little bit of caveat. You need to submit yourselves to God. Resisting in and of itself, a lot of people do that all the time. People, resisting the devil, trying to pray them to what? Nothing happening because they're not submitted to God. You see, every one of us has issues, addictions. And we need to get separation from those addictions. But the only way we can get separation from those addictions is to resist. And to continue to resist daily. It's kind of like playing basketball against the best defender out there. And you can't get separation from this guy. He's on you like glue. That's it. He's a shutdown defender. You're not going anywhere. But when you get separation, then you can score. Then you can pass. Then you can make it happen. It's kind of like this. If you can imagine, your sin, your addiction, your issue is kind of like this, and it goes everywhere you're going, and you're fighting it, and you're fighting it, and you're fighting it, and it's still staying with you. Until you just resist and get some separation. Resist some more, get some more separation, and some more separation, inch by inch, until deliverance comes. You see, there's all types of issues, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but there is no issue that the Spirit of God can't overcome. None. You guys are in a perfect place. I hope I give you hope. I really do. Because really, if I can get separation, then everybody here can. 10 times. I'm serious about that. You see, we need to resist. But we need to use the Word of God to help us in that way. How did Jesus resist in the desert?
Word of God. Boom. Every single time. Every single time. Every single time. Because the truth of God is powerful. I mean, you're made in His image now. Did you hear that this weekend? Anybody hear that? We're all made in His image, which means that the words coming out of our mouth is powerful. So when you pray, pray out loud. Speak the truth in love. The devil has nowhere to stand. I was telling somebody, you know, I've been called a barbarian. I might not look like a barbarian, or maybe I do, but being a barbarian is being ruthless in our approach to the enemy. Because I'll tell you this, I was watching a person get interviewed after they won this show, okay? And they had fought and fought and fought, and they'd made it to the top. The beauty of it is they gave the glory to God. And the second thing is what they said. They said, anything that's important is worth fighting for. Your hearts are important. Your wives' hearts are important. Your children's hearts are important. Your friends' hearts are important. It's time to start fighting for them, guys. All right? Because a lot of us aren't really sure what that means, what it looks like. And myself, I fight. I seem like I'm getting somewhere, and then I stop fighting for a while. Well, I won. I did good. So I stop fighting. But the fight for other people's hearts, especially for your wives and children, is one that's never ending. You see the sword here? Got two edges on it. I'd have it sharpen the edges because I don't have a scabbard for it. And I was talking to Kevin about that. Kevin, I don't have a scabbard for my sword. He said, well, according to the armor of God, you don't need a scabbard. It's the only thing not listed. Isn't that amazing? The only thing not listed. I was telling Jason over here, boy, I'd really like to have a scabbard for it, but I'd rather, but I'll sharpen it, and then I'll get a scabbard. This next clip we're going to take a look at is The Matrix. And this is a clip of Neo in the subway. And at first, Neo doesn't know that he can fight, or how much he can fight. Because up to this point, these guys had always run away from these agents. They'd always run away. But all of a sudden, he started to understand who he was. He stopped posing. And he became the man he was supposed to be. This is what happened. Check it out.
Of what it could mean if I do. Everything that your uncle told me has come true. Everything but this.
See, there's a lot of things that get in our way, guys. There's not just the issues that you have in front of you, but Kevin, Michael, and Neil touched on the problem with religion. You see, religion is man's attempt to figure out how to please God and put together a list of do's and don'ts to accomplish that. The spirit of religiousness wants you to have an intellectual awareness of God without a heart-to-heart relationship with Him. The spirit of religiousness wants you to have an intellectual awareness of God without a heart-to-heart relationship with Him. And this is the trap of religion, because it offers us this pseudo situation or place that makes us feel or believe that we are doing good, that we're being good, that we're pleasing God, and we're going to get it. And we get involved in church activities, and boy, we're done the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening and the Wednesday night and the Tuesday night men's group or Tuesday night life group and the Thursday morning men's group and boy, we're just doing all this stuff, and but our heart's not engaged. Kind of like being married and having an intellectual relationship with your wife. How's that feel? Pretty good?
She loves it.
Yeah. Mine doesn't, okay? So. It doesn't work. It flat out doesn't work. It seems good. Nobody's mad at each other. Everybody just gets along. Everybody puts on a good pose day after day. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. Nothing gets better. And yet, there is no heart to heart. There's no real relationship. You see, my story goes back to when I was 18 years old and I first gave my life to God. See, I grew up in a home where my dad was incredibly critical, where my mother was critical, where being right was the most important thing. I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, why are you right all the time?" He says, "Because when I find out I'm wrong, I change my mind." He believed rightness, and he staked everything on being right. I could never please him, because no matter what I did, it was never quite right enough. So I became a driven person. The pose, the driven man, that's me. I've got to make it happen. I've got to succeed. I've got to push through. I've got to fight. So, when I gave my life to God, all I knew was the religion that I was brought up in. My dad was an Episcopal priest. So I learned the do's and don'ts. I learned how to be right. To do it right. To make that great impression. Oh, I was so good at it. By the time I was 12, I was godfather of two children. Because they looked at me in my pose, this religious thing, as this really cool guy who could watch over my kids. When I was 16, I completely deserted any thought of God. Spent the next few years growing my hair, doing drugs, and pretty much going against every establishment issue or problem or situation, whether it was government or church or anything else. And so when I gave my life to God and really found what love was, and really found what being a Christian was really all about, the only model I had was religion. So I spent the next 35 to 40 years of my life being religious. Going to church every Sunday, raised my family, read the Bible, did what I thought was right. Kept doing it, kept striving, kept struggling. Not getting anywhere. So, my life turned into frustration. Got involved in pornography. Lust. My pride was already there. It was inbred in me from an early age. Because you had to be strong, you had to be proud. I was very critical. I was not a fun person to be around. I knew there was something in there. I knew there was something in my heart because I had touched God when I became born again. My heart had touched God's heart. But it was so filled with crap and so many wounds and so many issues that I couldn't go anywhere with it. And it wasn't until a young man by the name of Kevin Miles was on my softball team. And he asked to be able to say something. in our prayer times that we have in the softball league. I said, sure. And he says, oh, by the way, guys, he says, I just wanted to tell you about something. There is going to be this thing called Hearts Alive and Free, and I just really highly recommend it because, you see, I was involved in pornography and I got free. And something inside of me wanted that so bad, that freedom, to know that I could be free. Because it just beat up on me every day. And then I'd go for a few days and I'd fight it. And then I'd give in again and and then fight it again. And I went there and I got free. And I got free a bunch of other stuff. And I mean, I sat underneath the tree and I blubbed like a baby for 45 minutes because of the pain of the wounds that I had just opened up. And from there, it's been a heart-to-heart with God. You know, the amazing thing is when you touch God's heart, something happens to you. You start to actually love people. Instead of criticizing him, he says, look at that bonehead. Instead of that happening, something different happens. You go, look at that person who has so many wounds and so many issues and needs my love and needs God's love in their life. Your view of people is so totally different. My ex-wife, I've been married 3 times. The first two ended in obvious divorce. But the first two wives cheated on me. And you would say, well, that's a terrible thing for them to do. Well, when their wounds came in contact with my wounds, folks, they didn't have anywhere to go. Do you understand that? That's what happens in our relationships. Our wounds bang up against each other. We start living out of our wounds. And so, my wife, ex-wife, second ex-wife, had just said the nastiest, unbelievable email to me. I couldn't even read it after the first paragraph. I just gave it to my wife and said, you read this, you tell me if there's anything in there worth noting. And so she did, she says it wasn't good. Okay. But you know, the funny thing that happened was, I forgave her. And I blessed her. And I prayed for her. God just gave this amazing love coming out of me towards her, and not in the way that it used to be, but it was for her heart. And I was feeling like, wow, this is crazy. Okay, I'm feeling this way towards my ex-wife, and I mean, she's just like, you know. So anyway, she's, and I drop my son off. She has custody, and I see him every couple of weeks. And, she drops my son off, and this is very shortly after that. And I went up to her window, and I said, I just want to tell you something. I don't want to fight anymore. I said, God wants me to tell you that I forgive you, and he wants me to love you with his love. Whoa, talk about blowing her away. She started to open her mouth. Couldn't say anything. I said, you don't have to say anything, it's okay. But that was the love of God. And see, that was what comes from having your heart touch God's heart. It's such a cool place to be. Because the more you spend time with God, the more your heart becomes like His heart. So find your place in the battle, guys. Fight there. Love others as God loves you. Give them grace. There's no other way. There's not religion, not rules, not intentions, not good deeds, not being a nice guy. I wish I could tell you that I'm a nice guy, and sometimes I am kind of a nice guy, but there's other times that I'm so driven to this passion of being real that I sometimes step on people's toes. You know who they are. But you know where my heart is. My heart is for your heart. There's going to be danger in this, guys. It's one thing I told Kevin when he asked me if I would speak. And I realized that this was one of those adventures they call not the casual adventure, not the critical adventure. This was the crucial adventure. This is the one where, God, you don't show up, it ain't gonna happen. All right? And then you have to be ready to understand the battle that you are just in. And at that point, didn't know. But then God said, I want you in that battle. I want you in the front lines in that battle. So, guess what, guys? Time to get off the fence. Anybody here been on the fence? Raise your hands. Okay, the rest of you are always on the other side? Which side? Okay, just tell me, okay? It's all right. But always pray out loud as much as possible. But your time with God should be quiet time, where He's really doing most of the talking. Because you know what? If you just fill His ears with all your stuff, you don't have a chance to hear what He has to say. And for some of you, that's a difficult proposition. For me, it was practically impossible for a while there because my brain is ADD to the worst anyway. So, squirrel. I mean, you know, it's not good sometimes, you know? It just, you think you're on a path here, and next thing you know, you're totally deflected off somewhere else, and you're, what the heck happened? Conversations with my wife are a blast, really, actually, because she'll say a few things, and I'll take the second sentence of the five sentences, well, okay, maybe 10, and I'll be developing an entire theory about that one particular sentence, getting it all worked out, and she's continuing on to the other eight. I haven't heard a word of that. She says, are you listening to me? I said, well, I was up until the second sentence. So then she has to repeat herself, of course. She says, why do you do that? I said, why? I said, I don't know why. I said, there's something in that second sentence that really got to me. I started thinking about it and considering it and thought that that was really important. And this other stuff I didn't even know about, you know. So, but anyway, so when you're having a talk with God, let Him do the talking more than you. Okay? Really. Quiet. And it takes practice. It just flat out takes practice. You sit there and your last ball game, the last guy that yelled at you on the job, the last time your wife, and all these things want to enter into our minds. So this is the prayer you pray before you start. Lord Jesus, I want to spend time with you. I want to hear from you. I want to quiet myself before you and hear your voice. So I just pray that you quiet my mind. You got to ask. But you ask and you will receive. Okay? Ask and you will receive. You will find that quiet. Keep from speaking agreements with the devil out loud. No one's ever done that. Guy cuts you off, what's the first words out of your mouth? You idiot! Or worse. Don't speak agreements out loud with the devil. Get in a fight with your wife. What do you say to her? Ew, why did you do that? You're always doing that. I can't hardly believe you did that again. Gee Louise, you know why you start to keep acting like a bitch? Oops. Yeah, I did it. I wonder, I've only been married twice, or three times. No, really, because when you speak agreements out loud like that, it gives those agreements power. It reinforces in the entire spiritual realm in your house what's really important. I'll tell you what, I learned this in Love and War through John Eldridge about the speaking agreements thing. I highly recommend it. If you get a chance, if you guys want to do an amazing thing, go to the distances of having a couples retreat up in Timberwolf,
Lake City.
Yeah, Lake City, Michigan. That's going to be phenomenal. It's a 2.5-day retreat. And, boy, you want to learn something important. I did. My wife and I graded our relationship here just recently. I know that sounds funny to some of you guys. Because we were talking about, well, how did they ever get there? What happened to them? And she says, well, she said something about the relationship must have been close to a D-minus before or something like that. And I said, I think our relationship's quite a bit better than that. She says, well, how would you grade our relationship? Whoa, now there's a tricky one. Okay, you're gonna pose or you're gonna spit it out? You're gonna say the truth in love? I said, I would grade our relationship as a B+. And she thought about it for a second. And she goes, yeah, I think you're right. Whoa! That was like major. Holy smokes, a B+? I never ranked that high in the grade scale on a marriage relationship before. Okay, usually I always thought I was in an A and they thought I was in a D. Because I was so freaking like clueless. Guys, it's time to get real with yourselves. All kidding aside, all joking aside, it's time to look deep inside. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. These questions are not going to be fun questions. They're going to be probing questions. They're going to be questions that you're going to have to respond without a pose, without looking next to you and wondering what that guy's going to think, or the guy that you brought, or the guy that brought you, or your friend, or your neighbor, or the leader beside you, or the leader's thinking that someone might think they're not quite up to it if they say something. Because see, someone who is quote unquote a leader has the most difficult position because it's so easy for them to pose, and so difficult for them not to pose. Because, my gosh, if you're a leader, everyone's looking up to you. You got sin? What's the matter with you? Oh, my gosh, you did that? Oh, kick him out of the church. It's a rough way to go. So guess what? You got to be honest. But you are the guys that are going to expose your own pose. Because when you expose your own pose, you get freedom. You get freedom. Stupid question, but how many guys want freedom? How many guys really want freedom in their heart? I mean, really want that heart-to-heart love connection that's just going to make your life amazing.
We're going to look at a Lord of the Rings clip here. And I want you to notice something about this. There's a lot involved in this particular clip. But the most interesting thing is the reason that they won was because a spiritual force was on their side. And that's it. They did not have the numbers. And I want you to see their resolve, though, throughout this entire thing. Go ahead and roll that clip. Scenes on this was the reason that Witch King was able to be destroyed was because there was a spell on him. That spell said that as long as everything remained the status quo, no weapon would work against him. But there was a weapon that Mary Adak had in his hand that when he pierced the Witch King with it, it renewed his ability to be killed, and that's why Ewan was able to kill him. What that means for you guys, we're going to go to battle. We're going to break down the Witch King. I want you to put up that prayer. And I want every single man here, loudly and with conviction, and in your heart, I want you to say this prayer. Are you looking for it? See, I liked so many things about Lord of the Rings. Because there were so many moments, so many times when there was affirmation given to the men. One phrase was, you will face evil and you will defeat it.
Gandalf in the midst of all of his craziness and brandishing swords and his staff and everything else, had this really quiet moment with Pippin on the walls of Minas Tirith and said, all you have to do is decide what to do with the time that's been given you. That's what we all have to decide. What to do with the time that's been given us. Okay, guys.
Kind of get out of the way here a little bit.
We're going to do this together. I want everybody to stand up. Father God, in Jesus' name, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I stand against all the works of the world, the flesh, and the devil, everywhere I am, and everywhere I go. I forgive all who have ever sinned against me, hurt or wounded me, and pray that they are blessed, and that the love of God will rest in them and fill their hearts. I stand with my brothers in this battle against all the forces of evil in the world, including all idols, black arts, all occult, all lies of the enemy, all agreements with the enemy, all devices of the enemy, and join God's angels in the heavens as a warrior of Jesus. I open my heart to you, Father God, to deliver me from my false self, to heal my heart from the wounds I have received from my childhood, and give myself to you, holding nothing back. I desire an intimate relationship with you, Father, and pray that through Jesus, you will fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to stand as a man and fight with my brothers. I claim the blood of Jesus as my righteousness. I desire that you will put your love in my heart for myself and for everyone else. I desire that your truth free me and your Holy Spirit heal me in every area of my life. Amen. Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead and sit down, guys. On this next part, guys, this is where it gets tough. So, as they say in the vernacular, gird up your loins. I always thought that was strange, you know, but, you know, especially if they would use it in church a lot, you know. But that's what we got to do. We've got to gird up our loins, because this is where the rubber meets the road. You're going to want to look around and wonder who will see you when I ask the next few questions. Pride and religiousness will attempt to steal your chance at freedom. First off, raise your hand if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and want to right now. Maybe you were brought up in the church. Maybe you've always gone to church. Maybe your church is a church, or your family is a church family. But you've never actually had a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't remember a time when you repented and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you want to rededicate your life to God. Raise your hand if you have been addicted to religion or to a spirit of intellectual legalism and trying to please God with your intellect or your activity. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have issues with lust. Yeah, it's about everybody. Okay, that's good. I'm just glad I didn't see the posters on that one. Raise your hand if you're addicted to porn.
Raise your hand if you need to masturbate. Raise your hand if you've cheated on your wife. And I don't necessarily mean just cheating on your wife in a physical sense. I mean cheating on your wife by becoming emotionally involved with someone else. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're addicted to drugs. Raise your hand if you're addicted to alcohol. Addicted to food. A glutton. Addicted to tobacco, nicotine. Addicted to gambling. Raise your hand if pride and the need to be right rules your life. Raise your hand if you have an unforgiving, resentful, or bitter heart. I'm going to go there a little deeper. Think of the last person that caused you grief or caused you pain. Have you forgiven them? What about the person before that? Do you sometimes let that slide a little bit? Ah, just put it aside. Yeah, just lay it over here. It's no big deal. Unforgiveness is one of the, I would say, one of the two biggest reasons why people lose their connection with God. Because if you don't forgive your brother, your sister, if you're holding that grudge, you have no ability to have a relationship with God. Because he says, before you bring your sacrifice to the altar, go and make peace with your brother. Really, every single man here needs to examine any unforgiveness in your heart. It will keep you from having a relationship with God. You'll go part way. You'll get close. He says, no, take care of it. Sometimes you have to forgive him every day. But here's the key with forgiveness. Forgive him. Forgive him again. Forgive him again. And again. And again. 70 times 7,000 if it's necessary. But don't just go there. Start blessing them. Start praying for them. Start pouring grace on them. Now you'll see. Because forgiveness, guys, is a choice. It is not a feeling. You wait for the feeling to happen, it may never happen. It is a choice. It will always be a choice. Raise your hand if you hate anyone. Raise your hand if you have ever used Ouija boards, been to a seance, consulted mediums, participated in astrology, daily horoscope, or zodiac signs. Raise your hand. This is what I want us to do. And every single prayer warrior out there, I want you praying. I want you up here, okay? But every single man that raised their hands, I want them to come up here and stand. If that means all of you, that's okay. We got one.